Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's an oldie. You be the judge if it's a goodie.
Hi, this is Brian from Human Resources with an all-staff message. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon, in the private function room at the Grill House. There'll be a cash bar and plenty of drinks. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along. And don't be surprised if our CEO shows up dressed as Santa Claus. A Christmas tree will be lit at 1 p.m. Exchange of gifts among employees can be done at that time. However, no gift should be over $10 to make the giving of gifts easy for everyone's pockets. This gathering is only for employees. A special announcement will be made by our CEO at that time. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Hi, this is Brian again from Human Resources with an all-staff message. In no way was yesterday's message intended to exclude our Jewish employee. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday, which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we're calling it our holiday party. The same policy applies to any other employees who are not Christians or those still celebrating Reconciliation Day. There will be no Christmas tree present, no Christmas carol sung, and we'll have other types of music for your enjoyment. Happy now? Happy holidays to you and your family. Hi, Brian here from Human Resources with another all-staff message. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put a sign on the table that reads AA only, you wouldn't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this? Somebody? Forget about the gift exchange. No gifts exchanged are allowed since the union members feel that $10 is too much money and executives believe that $10 is a little chintzy. No gift exchange will be allowed. Hi, Brian from Human Resources again. What a diverse group we are. I had no idea we were in the middle of the Muslim holy month, Ramadan, which forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously. We can anticipate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps the Grill House can hold on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything up for you to take home in a little foil doggy bag. Will that work? Meanwhile, I've arranged for members of the Weight Watchers group to sit farthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms. To the person asking permission to cross-dress, no cross-dressing allowed, though. We will have booster seats for short people. Low-fat food will be available for the high blood pressure group to taste first, and there will be fresh fruits as dessert for diabetics. The restaurant cannot supply no sugar desserts. Sorry. Did I miss anything? Yeah, it's me. Vegetarians! I've had it with you people! We're going to keep this party at the Grill House whether you like it or not. So you can sit quietly at the table furthest from the grill of death, as you so quaintly put it, and you'll get your salad bar, including organic tomatoes. But you know, tomatoes have feelings, too. They scream when you slice them. I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. I hope you all have a rotten holiday. Drive drunk and die. You hear me?
Hi, this is Kristen, Acting Human Resource Director. I'm sure I speak for all of us in wishing Brian a speedy recovery, and I'll continue to forward your cards to him. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays.
Ho, ho, ho. This is Wretched Radio.
You realize we got to change part of that now, right?
Yeah, no.
Which part?
The cross-dressing thing is now...
That was recorded 12 years ago, gentlemen. Something like that back
Optimist.
At KKMS. And that was Brian who
15,
did that.
Yeah. 15,
and now
maybe, yeah.
It's actually, that's the inappropriate holiday party message is now inappropriate. Wow, how the times have changed. Is it just me? Or is anybody else getting to the point where it's like, you know, regarding this whole Christmas thing, I'll tell you what, why don't you all create something? The cold holiday, the chilling in December fest, something. Take it. Celebrate it. Whatever you want. Could you please leave Christ out of it so that we Christians can actually celebrate it rightly? Honestly.
Yeah, but they haven't taken him out of the name yet.
I know that they haven't done that, but for all intents, I suspect, now we haven't done this for a long time, but we have in the past gone to different campuses, public places. Even in the winter in Minnesota, we did this a couple of times. Hey, what's the meaning of Christmas? No idea. It's just a big festival for so many folks. And unfortunately, it can become that for us too. As Christians, we have to battle to make it about Jesus Christ. And speaking of Christmas and gifts, what is your gift? No, not what you put on your list that you want to receive underneath a tree on December 24th or 25th, however you've worked that out in your home. I'm talking about your spiritual gift. This is an issue. I don't hear a whole lot of talk about it these days in evangelical Christianity, so let's. What is your gift? You do have one. If you are a Christian, not only do you have at least one gift, but you have a unique gift. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about unique, distinct from every other Christian, but you have a unique gift because that is what makes it a gift. For instance, you're an excellent teacher. You then get saved. You're still an excellent teacher. Is that your spiritual gift? I think the answer is no, because God has already gifted you with that. All the skills that even pagans possess, they are, in a sense, gifts from God, of course. Whether somebody's a good orator, they have the gift of hospitality. Once they get saved, though, God gives them a spiritual gift, which is going to be a unique gift, something you didn't have before. The question, of course, is, what is that gift? Furthermore, it is going to be unique in that while it might be similar to other people's, the Bible does not list the complete, all of the optional gifts that are available to all of his children. God customizes gifts for each one of us. How cool is that thought? And so different people have varying degrees, they have different capacities, and they have different angles on it, because when we study the lists of gifts in the New Testament, I think, no matter what you think, with this gift is in operation, this gift isn't, wherever you stand on some of those particulars, I think all of us agree that the lists that are given in the New Testament, and there are a number of places where they are given, they're easy to remember, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, that kind of helps a little bit. But those aren't an exhaustive set of lists. There are more. And that means there could even be different categories. The point of the list, in my opinion, is not to give a complete, this is it, you're going to slot into one of these. No, it's to demonstrate God provides gifts to his children for what purpose? And that is what makes it a spiritual gift. It is for the encouragement, the edification of the body. That means whatever the gift is that God gave to you, and he gives each and every believer a gift when we get saved, you've got one. Maybe more. What are you supposed to do with it? Keep it under your tree? No, you're supposed to use it. Where? The church. For the edification of the body. Another reminder about the importance of being plugged into a local assembly. You can't use your gift if you're not a member of a local church. Oh, I know, you could use it here, you could use it there, but that's not what it's designed for. God fits you with a gift. He knows the other giftings of the other saints inside of that that group that gets together in your zip code, so that you can complement one another. You got an elbow, you got a toe, you got a chin, you've got all the different operating together inside of the local body. If you're not a member of a local church, would beg you to become one and start using your gift. How do you figure out what it is? That's a really good question. But let's take a look at the lists. Now, these are 10 gifts that the Bible lists. Again, not exhaustive. And we'll do our best to figure out what they mean. The gift of administration. It's the gift of leadership. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Rexella. Remember, if you were that before you got saved, this isn't your gift. Does that mean you don't use this gift inside of the local body? Didn't say that. You can use a gifting that God gave to you before he saved you, but that still isn't your spiritual gift. If you come to the Christian party as a good administrator, a good leader, you're an organizer, you can use that. By all means, use that. That still isn't your spiritual gift. This is for the person who didn't, now he does. She never was in any way administration, organization, not so good. All of a sudden, really good at getting stuff coordinated. Congratulations, you just found your gift. Number two, contributing to the needs of others with cheerfulness and generosity. You used to be stingy, now you're a giver. That could be your gift because you have at least one. There are 8 more to go. We'll study that list and then how you can discover what your gift is. Happy holidays. This, that hurt, is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. As the year comes to a close, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? I know you always consider what ministries to give your gifts to at Christmas and the end of the year. So would you please, please keep us in your thoughts? Because we could use your financial support as we head into 2020. We are growing like nobody's business. We have the opportunity to reach more and more people with the gospel. And that's why we truly need your year-end gift. To become a Wretched monthly gospel partner or to give a year-end gift, just go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Yes, all of your gifts are tax deductible, and we promise to be very thrifty with whatever gift you give to us. Miserly? No, cheap. We're cheap. As a matter of fact, 83% of every dollar you give goes straight to ministry work. Prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a 1-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate. Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Even if you don't get a gift for Christmas, you got a gift from the Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio. Bible identifies all three persons of the Trinitarian Godhead, three persons, one God. They're all responsible for the spiritual gift you received upon conversion. And yet, the Bible does tend to point toward the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, that he is the one who gives you that gift. He is the one who grows you in your gift or giftings. And so typically we attribute these to the Holy Spirit, although all three persons in the Trinity are indeed involved in your gifting. You got one. And you, dear Christian, you're supposed to be using it where the edification of the body, your local church. What are the gifts? If you'll recall, they are not exhaustive in the New Testament, which means even though I'm going to share with you 10 of them, you might have something that's completely different than what you're about to hear, because the listing of the gifts is not intended to be exhaustive and all-encompassing. It is to remind you, you got one. Now you got to figure out what it is. Perhaps this list will help. If you recall, number one, administration or leadership, 1 Corinthians 12:28. You got that. You didn't used to. Now you do. That's your gift. You better use it. Number two, contributing to the needs of others. Happily, generously. You used to not like to let go. If your parents could rename you, Ebenezer would be on the list because you're that tight with it. And all of a sudden, you've got an open hand. You could be one of these individuals who has the gift of generosity. Here's mine right here. I'll just tell you that much right now, fellas. Number three, Romans 12:8. Gift of encouragement. You guys are terrible at this. I'm excellent at it. I don't mind telling you. I don't even know what your gift is, frankly. But this one, like a star on top of a holiday festive tree.
You mean like a city on a hill?
That's my gifting right
Todd,
there.
Yeah. I would like to encourage you to do better.
That encouraging? Well, I can't because I've also got the gift of humility, of course. So you're a Barnabas type. Use that gift. Maybe you didn't used to be, but now you are. I was on the phone yesterday with a friend. Don't laugh. I got a couple. Yes, I have to pay them, but that's still not the point. I'm talking to a friend on the telephone, and we were working through an issue. We're trying to find a book for somebody who is struggling with the reason that they should desire to be obedient to the law. We were having a great conversation. It was so helpful. This is an aside, but we were talking about making sure that we understand why it is that we desire to obey God's commandments. And a question that you should ask if you're really struggling to be holy, really finding it to be burdensome, question: do you love God's law? Do you love God's law? And if your response is, well, not exactly love. I mean, I know we're supposed to do it, and, you know, it's kind of a part of the package, being obedient and stuff, but do I love God's law? Careful, because if you don't love God's law, you don't love God. This is a First John sign. We love to obey his commandments. They are not burdensome. They're not a yoke. We do it out of delight. Is it hard? Sometimes, of course, it is. Mortification is no walk through the park. But we desire it. We want that because we love his laws. We're like the psalmist in Psalm 119. Love your laws. Love your statutes. Love your commands. And if you don't, that could be a very bad sign. So we're talking about these theological things. And right before it was clear that we were about to hang up. Okay, he was going to hang up on me. Nevertheless, he said, hey, wait. How are you doing? And he actually meant it. I mean, it was clear. He could have been done, moved on, you know, gotten back to texting like we all have to do. But he actually said it and he cared. And not only did he say that he was interested, he started to ask about different areas. How are you doing? And then he actually gave a word of encouragement. Things like, I'm so grateful. I'm sorry. That was...
Stuck right there?
And I wasn't even the one who said it. And yet I find it that difficult even to repeat it. This is not my gifting. This fellow has it. And he was using it. And I don't mind telling you, it felt pretty good. Do you have that gift? Use it. Number four from Ephesians 4:11. The Ray Comfort gift. No, I'm not talking about the gift of being shorter than average and an incredible amount of energy, even at the age of 70. I'm talking about the gift of evangelism. Everybody is called to evangelize. Some people have the gift of evangelism. Do you have that gift? Use it in the context of the local church. I can't think of anybody, Old Testament prophet or New Testament missionary, that weren't sent. Consider Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, a little kerfuffle about Paul regarding Mark. Didn't want to bring him. So there was a separation. There was a division. It got reconciled, by the way. In 2 Timothy 6, you can see that Paul wants Mark to come and visit. So it got reconciled. Nevertheless, there was a division, but they were sent by whom? The church. How did the disciples go? Because they were sent by whom? Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Because he was sent by whom? The Father. Old Testament prophets, they were sent. Evangelists should be underneath the control of the elders in the local church, sent by the local church to control them. And believe me, we need that. I'm thrilled to pieces. Thanks. Almost. Really, the guy that you've got to give the credit to for the increase in evangelism in our country really is Ray Comfort. Others, of course, but Ray has really led the charge for the last several decades. And so we've got more people out on the streets, but if they're not underneath the authority of a local assembly, look out. It can get nasty. I think about a video that's on the YouTube machine, and yes, I have had too much coffee today, okay? Don't judge me. I'm not under the law. I can drink as much caffeine as I want. Did I mention I don't have the gift of encouragement? At any rate, it's a video of Lady Gaga in her limousine pulling up to the concert hall where she's about to perform. And there's somebody out in the streets who's evangelizing people. She rolls down the window to see what they're up to because their signs said lovely things like a Lady Gaga is going to hell. Worse than Lady Gaga is not a morally driven woman. She rolls down the window and pleasantly said, "Hey, fellas, those signs are about me. What's up? You're a bleep." Not just nasty words, awful, just terrible, angry words. I would bet the rest of this cup of coffee, and there's clearly not much left in it, that they're not under the control of a local church. We need to be under the control of a local church. Number five, faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. This is a tricky one. I cannot tell you definitively this is what it means, but I think that the gift of faith means that there are just some people who have extraordinary confidence in something. Remember, this isn't an exhaustive list. It's a confidence in God. It could be a confidence in his word. It could be a confidence in just, let's get this done, y'all. We can do this. Let's get it. It's just a strong faith where they just don't waffle. And there are some people like this. There are the spectrum in evangelical, just in Christendom. You have got people on one side of the spectrum. Oh, they struggle so mightily. They have wobbly knees. They're a bruised reed, and we need to be so tender with these folks because they need so much encouragement, because they just don't have this gift of a strong faith. Doesn't mean they're deficient. It just means that might be where their lack is, like you and I have lack. This is why we do this whole body thing together. I got my lack, you got yours. My strength is supposed to fill in the gap, vice versa. So you've got way on the left side, bruised reed Christians. Way over on the right side, it's like, never had a doubt in my life. Never worried about it. In fact, I don't worry about anything. God's in control. He's sovereign. We stand on the word of God. The end, what do we do now? I think that's the gift of faith. Not sure. Number six, 1 Corinthians 12:28, helping others. have that gift? I see that in some people. Man, they are Johnny on the spot. I know somebody's wife. In fact, I know somebody's wife really well because it's mine. I think she has that gift. It does not matter what somebody is doing in our home. She will help. And even if it's something I know she is not nuts about doing, she just likes to help. Number 7, this might be another one my wife has. 1 Peter 4:9. Remember Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. That's your easy mnemonic. The gift of hospitality, putting people up. You love it. That could be your gift. Number 8, shepherding as an elder. You just guide people so well. Number 9, teaching, which is different than preaching. You're the Sunday school teacher that everybody loves to go hear. You just love to hear those words because that person has the gift of teaching. And then finally, distinguishing spirits, 1 Corinthians 12:10. This could be the gift of discernment, not hunches and nudges, but applying the Bible to a scenario to go, you know what, that ain't right or that is right. Question. Those are just some of the gifts. Do you have one of those gifts? You should. Now the question is, are you using it? This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherds Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Furkenis. A 14-year-old girl in Pakistan, a Christian girl, was abducted from her home outside of Karachi, forced to convert to Islam, and marry a Muslim man, according to her parents, who've been pressing authorities for her return. According to published reports, three men staked out the Zia Colony home of teenager Huma Yunus, waiting for her parents to leave. Then they forcibly dragged her from the residence and took her 370 miles away to Dera Ghazi Khan in Punjab province of Pakistan. Although the kidnapping happened in mid-October, it has only recently attracted any media coverage. Her parents tried to file a report with police the day of the kidnapping, but authorities refused to take action. After repeated attempts by the family, the police finally did file a complaint 2 days later. Several days after the kidnapping, her parents received several documents, including a marriage certificate and papers saying she had converted to Islam. The man listed on the marriage certificate, according to Asia News, was Abdul Jabbar. Her mother maintains, though, the religious conversion documents are fake. The couple did have an appeal to the Court of Justice in Sindh Province, where Huma was scheduled to appear at a November 11th hearing, but never showed up. On Monday, representatives from the National Commission for Justice and Peace, Pakistan's Christian communities, and other organizations staged a peaceful protest in front of the Karachi Press Club. The Vicar General for the Archdiocese of Karachi and Director of the National Commission for Justice and Peace said the kidnappers are misusing religion for their motives and spoiling the lives of hundreds of young girls from the marginalized Christian community. In addition to that, an exclusive report published by the Associated Press said the news agency had acquired a list compiled by Pakistani investigators of 629 girls and women taken from within its borders and sold as brides to Chinese men and taken to China. The trafficking rings often exploit the country's poor and vulnerable, says the report. Numerous sources say the minority status of Christians makes them a prime target for trafficking, sometimes even at the hands of family or religious leaders. Praying for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. In Canada, a group of atheists who tried to gain tax benefits by calling themselves a church lost in court last week when three judges unanimously ruled atheism is not a religion. The Church of Atheism of Central Canada previously had been denied charitable tax status as a religion by Canada's Minister of National Revenue, so they appealed, claiming a violation of their rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. A three-judge panel of the Federal Court of Appeal said no and sided with the government. Justice Marianne Revolin wrote in part that the Church of Atheism's reliance on science fails the test in determining whether it's a religion and wrote the group's Ten Commandments of Energy are not a valid sacred text, saying mainstream science is neither particularly specific nor precise. A moment of clarity in Canada. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
We're not gonna take it. No! We ain't gonna take it.
This is Wretched Radio.
We're not gonna take it anymore.
Time for today's Twisted Scripture. Not only are we in Weird Al not going to take it, but Vody Baucom wants nothing to do with this translation of a Bible verse that we've heard mangled many times. Perhaps you've actually mangled it yourself, for all I know. We're talking about, of course, Matthew 18, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And a lot of people go, so that's church. But there's two or three of us. We're doing church because Jesus is with us. Vody Baucom, dripping with sarcasm, addresses that twisted interpretation.
Brother, we don't need no churches. We just need two or three. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there he is. Because if you close your eyes and think about it for 30 seconds, and you believe that all you need is, you know, one or two other people, and then you got a church, and then you got the Lord's presence, you in trouble. Because here's why. If that's true, then you can't even roll out of bed in the morning and pray. Because God won't be there. I mean, if that's what this verse means, God forbid that you're a single person living on your own. You got to get up in the morning, walk over to your neighbor's house, knock on the door and say, hey, are you up? Because I want to pray. And God won't be there unless it's two or three.
Wow. Did I say dripping? I meant ringing with sarcasm. The verse is talking about church discipline, the keys of the kingdom, the church being able to declare, this person has demonstrated they are not living a lifestyle in keeping with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are proclaiming what has already been declared in heaven. Because where two or three are gathered in my name doing this work, I am with them. It is as if Jesus himself were making the proclamation, you are out of here. Vody Baucom, this was from the G3 conference, I think last year, a year ago. Man, was he just on a tear.
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's one we rip kicking and screaming out of context all the live long day.
So what he's trying to say.
You ever been in a church where they bind the devil? Satan, we bind you. I just want to go up to him after and say, hey, I just want to ask you something. Do the rest of the churches around here know that y'all got him this week? Because, I mean, that's, you know, if you bound him, then, you know.
We're done.
Here's the other thing I want to know. Do you let him go every week? Because, I mean, if you can bind him, I'm just going to go on and recommend you keep him that way.
Oh, wow. Let's be careful about binding the devil, binding and loosing. It's the church's authority to declare if somebody is outside of the kingdom and they get set aside in hopes that they will repent. I think this is fair to say. Let's just say if the church goofed it up, they set somebody outside of the body, they actually are saved, It should drive them to repentance to bring them back in. If they're right, it purifies the church. That is a big deal, and that's one more reason why you need to be a member of a local church that exercises church discipline, because a church that doesn't exercise church discipline is no church at all, and you need that safety. We can all get weird. We can all get wonky on issues, and you need the body to protect you. Bodie Baucom talking about the importance of the local church and submitting to its authority. All of us.
There exists within the church this spiritual authority. And it is important that every believer finds him or herself under said spiritual authority.
I know. Sometimes that's hard. We're Americans. Second, you've maybe been in churches where the leaders, you would as soon put yourself under their authority as to put yourself under a bus that is driving out of control and running you over, because that's how it felt, perhaps. But it's for your good. You got to find a good church. And by the way, if you're an elder, you're a pastor, strive to be somebody that the church, your fellow church members, can submit to. Comport yourself. Don't have that air walking around or feeling like everybody's looking at me because I'm an elder in the church. But comport yourself with dignity that says, you can trust me. Come to me. You got a problem? Come to me. And you can't get that sort of help when you're watching sermons on the internet. As much of a blessing as they are, you can't get that sort of care. The people who love you and are willing to discipline you, it can only happen at the local church.
Those who lead the church are not primarily there as entertainers, but as shepherds, keeping watch over the souls that the Lord has brought to them, has assigned to them. Keeping watch first and foremost, examining professions of faith and entering into membership and the waters of baptism, those who have credible professions of faith, and then feeding them through the regular preaching of the word, through those ordinary means of grace, again and again and again applied to their lives, through visiting them, through encouraging, through admonishing, through correcting. This is what happens. You don't get that by sending someone a private message on Facebook.
Meow. Nor do you get that by gathering around the computer with your family and watching John MacArthur preach. That is not church.
Don't hear me saying that it's a bad thing and it's a wrong thing for us to have access to this information. But with this access comes a responsibility. And when you combine this access with the loss of the local, when you combine this access with misinterpretations of Scripture as it relates to the very nature of the church, when you combine this access with this idea that all authority is abusive and we are no longer under any spiritual authority, what ends up happening is I become my own confession. I become my own systematic theology, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
Oof.
And if I have to find 5, 10, 15 different sources to build a wall around myself that makes me impervious to any kind of correction or authority, I'll do it because it's available and it's possible.
And it's not healthy for you. We happen to be one of those people he's talking about here. We happen to do what he's describing. And he didn't say that what we're doing is wrong. That's not his point at all. This is a more transcendent point. Use it rightly. Use us rightly. Use the sermons at Sermon Audio rightly. But be under the authority of a shepherd in a local church. Otherwise, you're going to get goofy. Bodie Baucom delivering this message at a mega conference. This is the G3 conference. That's a big conference going on. We're taking a look at doing a conference, although I'm not supposed to tell you about that. But we're looking at doing that. And even with that in mind, even though Bodie was at the G3 conference, nevertheless, happy to share this clip from Bodie.
Praise God for conferences. where big name speakers come and talk about these lofty themes. However, it pales in comparison to sitting down in front of the man whose feet have been under my table, Amen. Who knows my weaknesses and my struggles, and who loves me nonetheless, and who is preaching his guts out of the deep well of that love that he has for all of us. Until you realize that I can't compete with that, you've lost the local. Mm. Until you understand that the best conference that you've ever been to can't touch that, mm. you've lost the local.
Wow. Josh Bice, who leads the G3 conference, did not get a hook to rip Vody off stage because, first of all, he couldn't. I mean, Vody could so take Josh in a heartbeat. Nevertheless, he would amen that. And so would we. Even as a radio, TV, parachurch ministry, taking a look at doing a conference, nothing compares to your local church. Are you a member of the local church? What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl and she repented. She used to be a sad looking kid. Now seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually. And the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is very, very sweet. This is Wretched Radio. Just received a card. Thought it would encourage you. I'm not going to mention Linda Martin's name because I'm sure she'd be embarrassed about that. But she just sent a nice card to us here at the ministry. And I just want to share this with you to perhaps encourage you to do likewise. She said, "Your words about biblical counseling are being heard. I just enrolled in Biblical Counseling Center's layman certification course. Way to go, Linda, and way to go, all of you who have done likewise. There's a couple of ways to get trained for biblical counseling. Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, biblicalcounseling.com, I believe. Joey, would you check that? I always goof it up. It's the .com part that always makes me a little, not sure. But ACBC, Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, Biblical Counselors or Counseling.com. At any rate, you can get certified there. It is not like just take a test online and you pass and you're good to go. No, it's not quite that simple. It takes work, but it'll equip you to counsel people in your church. Your pastor doesn't need to be doing all of that heavy lifting. The church can and should help, and biblical counseling is the way to do that. Way to go, Linda. Encourage you to do likewise. Biblicalcounseling.com?
Correct.
Is that what you said it is? Thank you very much. Biblicalcounseling.com. And Joey, speaking of tests, how would you like to take a test, senior?
I love tests.
I'm sure you do. There was a test. I don't know who would pass this one around, but it was a test that just sort of some basic theology questions. Let me see if I can find it just for you. What do you know? I happen to have it. Delivered by grace. Joey, are you prepared to take the test to see if you're not a heretic?
Oh, sure.
All right, here it is. Quiz, can you pass this simple Bible doctrine quiz? And it says, how often do we learn and continue to learn, but we seldom pause to quiz ourselves on how we are retaining Bible doctrine? Take time to work through a short quiz. Only 20 questions. I thought it was 10. Hoy. To see how well you are studying and learning the Bible.
Is it animal, mineral, or vegetable?
No.
Wrong 20 questions.
Question number one. True or false? Jesus was God fully, but he only appeared to be human in order to identify with humanity. I'll do it again.
False. Jesus, wrong. False.
He only
false.
Appeared.
Wrong.
Okay. For Docetism. Bonus then. That is correct. Or docetism.
Docetism. Docetism.
Yeah, it would be on the E syllable, don't you think? Phil Johnson disagrees. That aside, Jesus was the first of all of God's created beings. True or false?
Very, very false.
But it says that he was the firstborn of all creation, Joey.
Yeah, but John 1 says he was with God and was God, and all things were created. Nothing was created.
That wasn't created without. Yeah, it gets a little complicated. But the point is, no, he wasn't a created being. Even though it says it's the first fruits, he was the preeminent one. The firstborn is the preeminent one, not a created one. And not even, by the way, it's not always necessarily in order. Nevertheless, the devil is the enemy of God, but if he repented, he would be offered forgiveness. True or false?
I'd say false.
Why?
Because there is nowhere in Scripture that any way is made for angels, angels to be reconciled.
They don't have a
sacrifice. Yeah.
Jesus, fully God, fully man, because we needed a representative as a fully human being with a sacrifice that would be acceptable to God. So God, Jesus had to be, he was, but he had to be fully God, fully man. He was not fully angel, fully God. He was fully God, fully man. God created the world over a period of 6.5 billion years, 6 days, or 6,000 years. God created the world over a period of 6.5.
Oh, is this multiple choice?
Yes.
Two.
Which would be six.
B, 6 days. Yes.
All right.
B
righty,
is
then.
What I should have gotten for.
The Holy Spirit is. You got four choices. Ready? The Spirit of Jesus, or Jesus's soul. Two. The force of God that he uses to accomplish all of his work in this world. The third person of the Trinity, or a supernatural dove, which would he be?
The third person of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Every person has a free will that enables him or her to repent and obey God. True or false?
False.
Hmm. Not everybody agree with you, Mr. Eddie's father. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father existed without Jesus or the Spirit. True or false?
Absolutely false.
Mm-hmm. The Bible is a trustworthy book, but it does contain a few errors. True or false?
Well, depending on how you define errors, no, it does not have errors, but it records errors that occurred in history.
Yeah, another textual variance. But by the time
people making errors are recorded. You know,
that's right. But those are variants. Sometimes they were intentional
or narrative, if you will, like David making errors. I'm being cute. Sorry, I'll stop.
Thank you. Or it could be something that was in unintentional. I was just reading a list of these. It's from Revelation. The words lapis versus for stone versus for. Like it has like one like a slight little variant which led different translators to come up with a different, just replace it with a different word because some of the letters are very similar and there were just some errors in that. But I don't think that's what this question is about. It contains a few errors like, oops, that verse contradicts one another. We're not talking about manuscript evidence. We're talking about errors and there are none. Michael the Archangel is the spirit of Jesus, a created angelic being, or Satan in disguise?
Nope. Wait, what was...
The spirit of Jesus, yeah. A created angelic being, Satan in disguise.
Oh, B. Sorry, I forgot we were doing multiple choice.
Well, what did you think? It was suddenly going to be an essay? How could we possibly do such a thing? By the way, somebody brought this up. I was sharing that I heard somebody say that Jesus, like the Jehovah's Witnesses would teach, cannot be an angel because angels don't eat. And Jesus clearly ate. He broke bread. He made them breakfast on the seashore. But a lot of people said, wait. Consider back in the Old Testament. Was it at Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels, and they stayed with Lot and they ate with him? Good catch that. The Bible was written over a period of, here's your choices. It's multiple choice, Joey.
Well, it shifted.
300 years, 6,000 years. 1,500 years or 6 days? The Bible was written over a period of...
1,500 years.
Just about, give or take, maybe 14. Yeah, about, it'd be a little over 50, because if it was 1425 when Moses... But then again, you don't know about Job going into about 90 with John. So yeah, let's call it 1,500. All religions have their own God, and all of them point to the same being by using different names. True or false?
Wrong. False.
Uh-oh, this could be a problem. I'll just answer this one for you. Baptism accomplishes the following. Washes away a person's sin, publicly identifies a person as a follower of Jesus, acts as the point where the Holy Spirit indwells a person. That's correct. Tony, we're here. We might have a different answer. The Lord's Supper is a part of worship that is required in order to become a Christian. Fuses a person with Jesus in a mystical union. 3, an act of worship by the church in order to remember the body and blood of Jesus while anticipating his return.
C.
Wow, good on you. You sure you're not Baptist, Joey?
Yes.
Who led the Israelites away from the bondage of Egypt? Noah, Elijah, Moses, or David?
Moses.
Mm-hmm. What Bible did the Apostle Paul use in his preaching ministry? King James, New American Standard, the English Standard Version, or the original Hebrew and Greek?
The original Hebrew and Greek.
It would be original Greek, really, because the Septuagint would have been
original. He was a Pharisee, so... Oh, yes.
After the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered his body on the 8th day in order to enable him to live a perfect life. True or false?
False.
After the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit entered his body on the 8th day in order for him to live a perfect life. False, says the Joseph. So I thought, though, the Holy Spirit was the one who empowered Jesus to do his work. He was. But there's nothing in the Bible that says that there was something that happened on the 8th day. He was circumcised on the 8th day. That's it. How many good deeds are required in order to make it to heaven? 10, 10,000, 1, or 0? How many good deeds are required in order to make it to heaven? It's not a great question, is
No,
it?
It's phrased a little awkwardly. Like, I know they're going for 0, but I think you need a little more clarification to make sure that's
because
clear.
If you can be perfect, then you're good to go. There's just a problem with that. Who wrote the book of Ephesians in the New Testament? That's right. the Apostle Paul. What doctrine is absolutely essential in order to become a Christian? Premillennial eschatology, King James onlyism, cessationism, or the bodily resurrection of Jesus? That's right.
The bodily resurrection of Jesus.
How many questions are on here? God chooses people before the foundation of the world unto salvation based on the following: foreseen potential in the person, foreseen repentance and faith, or God's mercy without any foreseen merit or potential in the sinful human being.
One.
That is correct. That was number 20, by the way. Joey?
Am I a heretic?
Would you like to know where you scored?
Yes,
please.
May
I ask first, how did you score? Did your answers match Joey? If they did, then congratulations to both you and to the Presbyterian Joe Selness. You received... Oh, look at the time. Well, gotta go. Okay, he got 20 out of 20. Hopefully you did too. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.